Good morning, Bible Baptist Church.
Morning, Bellwood.
We're going to go ahead and turn over to the book of Proverbs. If you want to turn over to the book of Proverbs in chapter 1, we'll begin there.
Chapter 1?
Chapter 1.
Okay,
yep.
Got it.
Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 1 says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." Let's go ahead and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Bible Baptist Church. We're thankful for this lighthouse, this candlestick, this place where lovers of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, come to unite around His great truths. We're so thankful, Lord, that we can be edified and that we can learn here so that we may follow Thy commandments and walk in them. Gracious Lord, the idea and the plan of your local church is amazing, and only you could have thought it up. We're thankful for the guiding of the Holy One that resides in each one of us that knows your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you'll fill me with thy Spirit this day, and that I will be honoring to thee as I handle your words. Enable me and help me to bring forth these truths. For it is in Jesus' name, Father, that I come before you now. Amen. So Proverbs 1:1 begins, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." Proverbs, the word Proverbs here, is the Hebrew word mashal. This Hebrew word means a pithy maxim, a short sentence or verses, usually of metaphorical nature, a simile, a parable, or again, a proverb. So Proverbs is many a proverbs that are short sentences that contain the whole of its meaning within the one verse itself. And that meaning can be applied to all the other areas of the Scripture. And if you take a look, for example, at Proverbs 29 over in chapter 29... Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1 says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And so here in the context of Proverbs, that one who does not receive wisdom and understanding could find himself with a stiff neck and suddenly destroyed. But in our application for our lives, light received, light increased. Light rejected, light decreased.
That's right.
So Proverbs contains its contextual meaning, and then you can apply Proverbs to the rest of the Scripture easily. Verse 2 in 29:2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Solomon is saying that when righteous leaders and kings are in authority in Israel, following righteous judgment in the laws, the people rejoice. But when evil kings get into that position, the people mourn. We here in this country, when we have righteous leaders that follow moral laws, stay within the parameters of government to which God has set up, the people rejoice. But when government gets outside of its own parameters and responsibility that God did not ordain it to have, the people mourn. And that's what these Proverbs do. They give us short, pithy statements and maxims that we can use in our life and recall quickly and easily as we face life situations. God uses the Proverbs, which are short, pithy instructions, to help us learn. Because they are short and precise, we can recall them quickly and make immediate application. They carry not only the contextual meaning of the verse, but also application can be made in our everyday lives. We've looked at some of that. Verse 13 also, if you look at chapter 13 of Proverbs. Chapter 13 of Proverbs, in verse 12, "Hope deferreth, maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." The hope here in Proverbs is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He offered the nation of Israel the kingdom. they rejected it. The hope was deferred. That makes the heart sick. But when that hope finally comes, and it could come at any time, it is a tree of life. But this proverb can be applied to many other applications within our lives. God's will is not, God's way is not necessarily our way, and so things may not work out exactly as planned. God may want to instruct us. But when the answer to prayer comes, it is a tree of life. We grow in the Lord. Life lived according to God's word and in the context of the Proverbs brings blessing. Life in violation of the scripture brings disaster. Proverbs teaches good and evil, right and wrong, truth and lies. And because of my spiritual gift, I like that. Truth proclaimed in Proverbs is clear. And there is no gray area. Proverbs 12, turn over to Proverbs 12. Some things may be hard to understand, but once understood, they're clear. Proverbs 12 and verse 19 says, "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." God's word is established in heaven. It lasts forever.
Amen.
But the lies against the word of God, they'll cease someday. What a great truth. Take a look at 22. Verse 22 of the same chapter. "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight." We should not lie. We should tell the truth always. Tell the truth always. What happens if we tell the truth always? We're blessed. Verse 23. "A prudent man," this is something I struggle with, "a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness." I can't shut my mouth. And it's true. I often find myself in trouble because of my big mouth. But it says here that a prudent man, a man that keeps his mouth shut, concealeth knowledge. You guys actually think I'm wise if I say nothing. And so the Proverbs are these short, pithy sentences that teach us. And believe me, I draw upon this when I'm in the crunch. I keep my mouth shut. Even though I know I want to come out, I know I'm better off holding on to the knowledge. The Proverbs give the ability to be prudent, subtle, wise, street smart. And I said this on the Wednesday night that I was in Proverbs. Street smart so as not to walk into that wrong, dark alley. To be able to understand what God wants you to do and in any given situation to discern the correct path. Proverbs will do this for you. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Proverbs instructs man in the areas of morality and discipline, understanding of wise and good godly counsel. They teach us God's righteousness and how He wants our relationships to be with others. We learn divine just principles, which have direct application in our lives. Because of God's love for us, if we take heed to Solomon's Proverbs, we will receive knowledge. It says we will receive wisdom. We will receive justice, judgment, equity, and salvation. So the context, in the context of Proverbs, God gave Solomon, who is the author of Proverbs, an extraordinary degree of understanding and wisdom. The Bible reveals that Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. And unlike his father David, David's life was full of affliction. And because of that, his writings reflect that. But the book of Proverbs reflects peace and tranquility. And so Solomon was King David's son. We know that from 2 Samuel 12:24. And Solomon was an obedient son. And you need to know that from 1 Kings 3. We can turn over there. And if you'll stay in 1 Kings, we're going to be going back there quite a bit because it talks a lot about Solomon. But 1 Kings 3 and verse 3 says, "Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father." Solomon loved the Lord. And he walked in the statutes of David, his father, which were God's statutes. And so as God loved David, David loved his son and wanted to see Solomon glorify God by walking in the statutes that God gave David. Take a look at 1 Kings 2. Since you're there, go over to 1 Kings 2 and chapter verse 1. Now, the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. David's burden was for Solomon. And he said, Solomon, do this. My burden is for my children. I say to my children, do this. This is an instruction book that has been given to us from the wisest man that ever lived through the inspiration of the Lord thy God. Verse 4 says, that the Lord may continue. Why do this, Solomon? That the Lord God may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in the truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. God wants us to walk in his statutes and his commandments so that he can continue to put them forth. We are servants. David wanted Solomon to be a servant for God so that God could accomplish his will through his son Solomon. That was David's desire. I want my children to do the same so that they can ultimately glorify God.
Amen.
That's the purpose. It's not selfish so that they can live peaceable and carefree lives. No, 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 no. We as born-again Christians are interested in glorifying God.
Amen.
That's the purpose to which we do. And that's what David wanted Solomon to do, and Solomon wanted his son to do, and that's what I want my children to do. Find my place here. All right, so I have other examples of that, but we'll move on. Solomon loved God. It shows that throughout the book of Proverbs, but if you turn over to John 14, Solomon loved God how? John 14. How did Solomon love God? 14:15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That's how Solomon loved God. That's how we're supposed to love God. Love, in its definition, is not some intangible floating thing out there that the new evangelicals claim it is. Love is not that. We have a handle on love. Love is keeping God's commandments. If we keep God's commandments, I necessarily show you love. I show you love, I show you love, because you're here to unite around God's commandments. So as we keep them, we love each other. But when we live carnal lives and we bring that carnality here to the local church, we're not showing love. And we may go up to somebody and say, I love you, brother. No, you don't. And why do we keep God's commandments? Because we want to glorify Him. I love you, but I must be right with him first before I can love you. That's why we keep God's commandments. My desire is to see my children love God by keeping God's commandments. It gives me great joy when I see my children walk in the truth. How about 3 John? You guys know this verse. 3 John, verse 4. John says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth.
Amen.
I'll share my joy with you. Even though it's a trial and it's tough and it's scary for him, I have no greater joy than to see my son go to the Philippines.
Amen.
That's the Lord's hand.
Amen.
Is it not? Recognize the Lord's will clearly when it lines up with His Word? Is it not biblical for a young man to want to serve and glorify God? And whether August is realizing that or not, he is doing that.
Amen.
By submitting to His will. It may not feel that way initially,
right,
because you're scared.
Yes.
Kind of like August, he has to present his 10-minute presentation today at lunch. He's nervous.
Yes.
But he's going to do it.
Amen.
He's glorifying God.
Right.
And in turn, when you do that, you're blessed. This is the message of Solomon. This is what Solomon is saying. So Solomon was a wise son. Solomon was wise because he was thankful for God's blessings on his father and wanted to fulfill his father's will and walk in God's statutes also. I can look at those here in 1 Kings 3. We'll take a quick look at those if you go back to 1 Kings. Take a look at verse 5. This is Solomon's desire. This should be your desire. This was Solomon's desire for his son. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon by a dream by night, and God said, and I'll read this quickly, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. Solomon saw the fruit that David had in his life and recognized that as mercy from God. David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth. Solomon saw that. Parents, your children need to see that in you. And in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as it is today. He knows that he is sitting, Solomon, is sitting on that throne today because of the blessings to his father who kept the statutes of God. Solomon recognized that. Children, recognize that in your parents. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. That means he's a youth in the Lord. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitudes. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? Solomon wanted to accomplish God's will with the people. But he knew he could not do it without God. He knew it. He wanted to emulate his father. And so he asked for great wisdom. Verse 10 says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. 13 says, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that these shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. 14, and if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Solomon desired God's will for his life because he understood God. He understood and had wisdom. And as we look here into the book of Proverbs, that is the desire of Solomon. He knows this. In order for us to do anything for God, keep His commandments, we must know who He is. And there's a way to approach God. There's a certain way that we must approach God in order to obtain wisdom.
Amen.
Okay? You just can't do it your way. Solomon knew his father's way was the way, and he wanted to do that way. And the book of Proverbs is Solomon's desire for his son to do that way. It's how we serve God and glorify Him. Solomon was a wise son. Solomon was wise because he was thankful for God's blessing in his father's life, and he wanted to fulfill his God's will for his life. There was someone else who wanted to do that also. Turn over to John 6. John 6 and verse 38. Jesus Christ said this in John 6, 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me.
Amen.
Jesus Christ wants only to do the Father's will.
Amen.
When we think that we're serving God because we want rewards or to accomplish certain carnal aspects and they feel good, you're not doing God's will.
Amen.
God's will is here. And if whatever you're doing lines up with this, you're accomplishing God the Father's will. Solomon wanted this wisdom. He wanted to do God the Father's will. That was his desire. That pleased God. And so God gave him a ton of wisdom. If you folks here today truly desire to accomplish God's will in your life, that is glorify Him, He'll give it to you through here. But you must go here to accomplish this will. And this is Solomon's burden and desire for Rehoboam. So, Solomon wanted his son Rehoboam to obtain wisdom so that he too could carry out God's will. Jesus Christ showed us that his only desire was to fulfill his father's will, and the Proverbs are God's wisdom given to Solomon and Solomon's desire to impart them unto his son Rehoboam. Turn back to Proverbs. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 shows this desire of Solomon. Solomon says in verse 8, "My son," that would be Rehoboam, "hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Now, Solomon's desire is to impart wisdom and instruction unto Rehoboam, but what does it take in order to impart wisdom and instruction? It takes somebody hearing. You have to hear. That's the tough part, is to hear. And Solomon knew this. My son, hear. He says, hear. This word hear is the Hebrew word shama. In the context, to the Jew, it would be understood as hearing intelligently, attentive, obediently, not casually. Not casually. I believe, and I don't know which proverb it is, you seek the Word of God as riches and silver and gold. That's how we go after truth. In the New Testament, the lost item, the personal item, and you search the whole house. I'd like to have that recall. If my wife was here, she'd know it right away. But in any case, that's what Solomon is saying. Rehoboam, hear. Hear, give ear. Give ear. Come on, it comes from you. I can't make you do this. You need to hear. That's what he's doing here. And it is emphatic. Even though we know how the events unfold concerning Solomon's son Rehoboam, and basically quickly, Rehoboam did become king. The nation of Israel was divided. Rehoboam took ungodly counsel from friends. He did not listen to godly counsel. And even though Rehoboam did live a godly life pretty much, he could have had so much more. But he fell prey like his father. So we today have the same promises of blessing. What? If we walk according to the word of God. That is where the blessing is. Children should take heed to Proverbs 1:8. It's one of the first verses my wife and I had our children memorize. I think when the kids were in Master Club or whatever it was, I think that's one of the first verses that children learn is Proverbs 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. And so children should honor their parents' teaching. Who would have thunk? Children, you should honor your parents' teaching. Turn over to Exodus 20. Exodus 20 and verse 12. Of course, we know this is one of the commandments. Verse 12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Children, you need to honor your father and your mother. You need to take heed to Proverbs 1:8, because your father and your mother have the same burden for you as their parents maybe had for them. The desire that Solomon had for his son is the same desire God has for us today. Children should obey their parents in the Lord. Where's that? Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Yep, Ephesians 6. No problem. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. This is something else that the children learn to memorize. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Boy, this promise of long life for children that obey their parents, given the parents are putting forth truth.
Amen.
That's the stipulation here. But we know in Proverbs that was obviously Solomon's desire. 1 Kings 3. Go back to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 3 and verse 14. It says, and if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did, then I will lengthen thy days. Why wouldn't you want to? Because the lengthened days need to be more time for you to serve God. That's how you have to look at it. Not lengthened days so you have a longer retirement. That's how you have to look at it. All of this is predicated on the fact that you love these words and you want to live them. Very difficult for us sitting in these seats today to do. I'm included in that. But we have to make those right decisions. Children who walk in the statutes of the Lord will never fail. Children who keep the statute of the Lord, listen to their parents, and keep the statute of the Lord will never fail, the Bible says. Turn over to 1 Kings again. Remember I told you, stay in 1 Kings. 1 Kings and chapter 2 and verse 3. 2-3. Again, this is David talking to Solomon. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue, this is what the object is, that the Lord may continue his word, which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, saith he, a man on the throne of Israel. If children walk in the statutes of the Lord, they will never fail. That's where the peace is. And so, Proverbs is God giving us children, us, the children, instruction. Parents are commanded to give their children God's word. We're commanded as parents to give it to the children. So we're under that ordinance too. Take a look at Deuteronomy 6. Solomon had a burden for a reason. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That is the testimony of the parent. That's what your house should look like. Not easy to do. But it can be done. It can be done. We, in our house, I claim not to be perfect. You know me at Bible Baptist Church as being far from perfect. But my wife and I have attempted to do that in our house. Now, how consistent we are at all times is questionable, because you'll hear from August and Amanda that, you know, wow, you know, we really got spanked all the time, but those two, wow, you know. True, my wife and I got a little tired. I admit that. But this is what we're supposed to do. And as parents, we need to suck it up and we need to do what's right. That's why I think children are for the youth. Really are. When you're youthful, you have the energy. I had children late, and so I have a 9-year-old now, and I agree with August and Amanda. I think I am easier on her. But she has different spiritual gifts. She has mercy. She doesn't need spanking. You know where I'm going there. Ephesians 6:4 says the same. So children need to give ear to parents' instructions. Parents are given a stewardship over them. Just as Adam and Eve were given a stewardship over God's creation, we have a stewardship responsibility to teach our children about God and who He is and what He commands. Solomon certainly understood this great truth. He showed his understanding to instruct his son Rehoboam by the context found in Proverbs. I won't go to all these references, but our children are not ours. They are the Lord's. So often in my prayers, I say, Lord, thank you for my your family. I give it to the Lord every time. I do not take possession of it in that sense in my prayers. I want to always remember that this is the Lord's family you've got here. And we parents have a stewardship over them, Psalm 127:3. Proverbs is an excellent instruction book for parents. And so Kirsten and I thank the Lord that God gave us this instruction book. Proverbs shows the parents four types of people or characters in the application to children and their attitude. So Proverbs does. Turn over to Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. In verse 20. Proverbs 1 and verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. This wisdom is the wise one. This is a characteristic. This is either a person, you and I, or child. What does the wise one do? They cry out. Their voice in the street. What does she do? She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying. Wisdom is a good thing. This characteristic, this person is good. They're wise. And they do what's right. Proclaim God's word. They proclaim truth. That's wisdom. We move on. Verse 22. How long, ye simple ones? Here's another characteristic or a person. A simple one. This simple one is naive. You'll learn as we go through the book of Proverbs, and each time I'm able to preach from the pulpit here, I've chosen to go through the book of Proverbs in a parenting fashion. But these simple ones are naive to wisdom. They're gullible. They have no discernment or understanding about spiritual things. And they are very quick to believe their peers. Very quick. Parents, how many have you seen this in your child? This simple one. See, Proverbs is an instruction book for parents. You're to look for this. Now, these characteristics, these behaviors come out either through the words that they say or through rebuke. When they do something wrong and you rebuke them, you watch close. God says, watch close. Here comes the behavior. And when you see the behavior, you can classify it.
Right.
You can know what you're dealing with.
Exactly.
What an awesome instruction book.
Amen.
And I took my class over at Emmanuel with Dr. Bates, who was an excellent instructor.
Yeah, yeah.
And he instructed on Proverbs. He has a booklet where... I have the booklet, and you'll hear so much of what I say is his, because this is where my wife and I learned how to parent our children. I had no clue. I had just gotten saved, and I think this class was in 2004, and I went in there, and I was blown away. You know, wow. You know what I'm saying? Look at this book of Proverbs, man. I can do this. So there's your simple one. Right? Will ye love simplicity? Simple ones just love simplicity. And here comes the next one, the scorner. And the scorner. Now, the scorner ridicules wisdom. He ridicules wisdom. He is a critic. He's the critic in your house. Are you that? This book's for you, too. They like to criticize. They like to scoff. They like to ridicule and belittle wisdom. And they like to talk back. So this one here, this scorner, is a little further down the progressive road. And so we need to look out for this guy. You'll see it in their behavior at home, in the way they interact, or when you rebuke them for doing something wrong. Look for it. And so we have the scorner that delights in their scorning. It's where they get all their good feeling. You know, it's like the days when our family, August, we would go home after church and we'd do roast pastor. That's great. You know, pastor said that. You know, that's a scorning attitude. Critical. We were delighting in our scorning. That's what the scorner is. Be careful of that. Certainly parents. And then, of course, here comes the worst. The last and fourth and the worst. And fools hate knowledge. This fool is the rebel. He's a rebel. There's some serious problems in the house if we have young children that are fools. Because they're rebels. They hate knowledge. They rebel against spiritual wisdom. They don't just not like it. They purposely rebel against it. They've progressed. And it seems fine, this fool. They seem fine at home. They're all good. Oh, yeah, Johnny, he's doing real good. He's fine. Look at him. He's behaving. Everything's good. Until Johnny gets rebuked.
Yes, sir.
Until he gets rebuked. Mm-hmm. And you cross his path.
Right.
And here it comes. Look out for it. Mm-hmm. Here comes the fool. Remember, children are commanded to obey their parents, to honor them. Okay? Unless, of course, the parent is driving their child to wrath. But we're not supposed to do that as parents. We're supposed to bring up the children in the admonition of the Lord. And if we're doing that, we have a great promise, don't we? We will not fail. So, children, if you're sitting here today and listening to my words, take heed if you want to live long upon the earth. Because he that often stiffeneth his neck will find himself suddenly destroyed. There's a proverb. Comes quick to even someone who can't remember anything. So those are your four types. And our children, they gravitate in and out of these four types. They change.
Yeah.
You can't just say, oh, he's a simple one. Right. And he's always... No.
Right.
They gravitate in and out of these behaviors. So you have to watch out for them.
Yes, sir.
Now, as we work our way through this book of Proverbs, it'll tell you what to do with each one of them.
Right.
Tells you how to deal with them.
Yes, sir.
God just doesn't leave you hanging. He gives you the necessary tools so that you can change their heart. You got to change this.
Amen.
Okay? Children reveal who they are either by their behavior or through correction. Parenting is the most responsible reason for the behavior or attitude our children have. It's your fault. Think about that. The behavior of our children reflects us as parents. In the environment of our home. And so, my challenge to you would be, God is the same here as He is there. He doesn't change His requirements at home.
That's right.
So however you're acting here, are you there the same? Again, take no offense to this on my part. I have failed in this area on a number of occasions. But I know what the truth is.
Right.
And Kirsten and I have tried to do this. Now we see when this is done correctly. We see the success and the fruit from the children, don't we? When they're at church. That's where we see them mostly, right? That's why I've complimented Jasmine and Terrell on their children. When I see them behave themselves, I want to edify them. I want to let them know that whatever you're doing at home is working.
Amen.
That's what we do for each other. Our pastor is qualified to be a pastor because he has children. And his children are not unruly. You understand? Now they're gone out of the house. He cannot control much of the behavior of his children, but his children, he has a testimony of not having unruly children when it were under his guidance and control. That's a qualification for a pastor. So we too, as parents, need to give the children every opportunity to succeed. And that is to provide at home an environment where children can learn. And so in closing, how do we provide that environment for our children? First, as parents, we need to be in this. And everybody here knows, because I'm guilty too, how often does this get missed? You may be having a good month or a good couple of months, but there's downtime.
Yes, sir.
You must be consistent. If you're not consistent in this as a parent, you can't be consistent for your children, and that's driving the child to wrath.
Amen.
So my challenge to you is make a time of the day. Do it. Make a time of the day, sometime during the day, where you can open this. It's such a good gauge to our behavior and relationship with God, because you can't deny at the end of the day when you look at God and say, I didn't open that. You can't run away from that. And that's between you and God. I don't know what you did, but I know what I did. Okay, so there's your first step. Then after that, what are you doing as a parent? What guidelines are you giving them? First, you need to bring this to them. Solomon was bringing the wisdom to his son. You must bring this to your child. We did it in our house with devotions. I think the devotion time in the house was the most important time that we did as a family. Now, this is American in its context and very old-fashioned, but I believe this to be true. I think the dinner table is very important, and I think it's a good practice for parents. I know we work crazy hours and we do whatever, but you know, if you pray to the Lord and you want to find that one time, maybe it's breakfast, maybe whenever it is, whenever you can find that time where you can get that family together as a nucleus and then share with each other the Word of God. And believe me, it is not a party. Because our previous associations, they did it at 5 o'clock in the morning. And they had 6 kids. And so you're getting 6 little kids out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. Okay?
Right.
But they did what they needed to do.
Right.
You need to do what's needed to have that time with your family. Create structure in your day where you can get into this Word of God. And then also remember many of the Proverbs, parents, especially like the one that I have a problem with, keeping my mouth shut. Because if I keep my mouth shut, and then I go through my structured day, I find myself being ahead of the game. Then if I fall prey to my